Wow.
Good ones.
It's pretty.
By the way, do you know I'm going viral on TikTok right now?
Yeah, you really? And everybody else, buddy.
I got 11,000 views on that latest one.
Oh my gosh, it's been like 2 hours. An hour ago, you had 8,000.
Oh, it's blowing up. I'm literally famous. Yep, 11,500. It just blew up 500 more in the last minute.
Wow.
That's crazy. Parker, AJ.
I'm going viral, guys.
One of our listeners had a birthday.
Who's that?
His name is Garrett Smithley.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. Happy birthday, Garrett.
Happy birthday,
Garrett. I want to wish a warm, belated, and happy birthday. His birthday was actually the day we released our podcast last week, but happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Just know it always comes.
Thank you, Garrett.
After Josh's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. Garrett has been on a couple times. He's helped host because Parker was busy, I don't know, driving sports cars around or something. I don't know what he does.
So I want to show you guys.
Excuse me. You're talking to a guy
going viral
on TikTok. I am blowing up. I think I have 1,200 followers now.
Is that a mouse pad?
Yeah. Quite a mouse pad there, bud.
That's
Josh is holding up a. Go ahead.
It's my Spanish mouse pad that I'm taking with me to Spain. It has all the F1 circuits on it. Isn't it pretty cool?
Yeah, the little outlines, and they have the names.
It's not Spanish. It's really the names.
Well, I'm taking it with me to Spain to use while I'm there. So it's my Spanish mouse pad.
Also, Josh is wearing an IMSA prototypes shirt because he went to IMSA. So
I did.
Let me do the quick intro thing. Do we even need the intro this week, or do we not want to do it?
No, you're the one who complains every time you're like, I listen to the podcast. I can't tell who's who. I'm Joshua Mendoza, worldwide extraordinaire, joined by Parker Kligerman, the pit road reporter and driver. You know the rest. AJ Henderson, our on-site reporter for, what is it, Formula E and e-scooter?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm the on-site reporter of e-scooter and the Formula E car design expert.
He's the guy that when MSNBC and CNBC need a commentary on e-scooter, they call AJ Henderson. Do the music.
It's storming outside right now.
Really?
Did you guys hear that?
How do you think that's going to affect e-scooter performance? Do you think that's going to reduce the range from like 5 miles to like 4.8 or increase it from 5 to like 5.2?
It really depends on the tires, Josh.
Oh, okay. Do they have wet weather tires in e-scooter?
No.
Okay. Parker, I'm glad you mentioned my shirt. Check this out. They included the biggest temporary tattoo ever with my shirt. I think I'm going to put it on my epic forehead. What do you think about that?
All right, Josh is holding what is obviously an IMSA sticker.
Is this a sticker? I thought this was a temporary tattoo. Oh.
What is he going to do with a sticker?
Are you on drugs?
That's lame.
What, you going to put that on your car?
I don't drive an IMSA car. I drive a regular car.
Yeah, you can't put that on your car. That'd be illegal.
It's 100% a sticker.
Are they trying to force me to enter a car into IMSA? This is thievery.
You gotta put that on your lemons car and trick everybody.
Yeah, put it on your lemons car.
They'll think it's an IMSA
car.
Then
they're gonna say it's worth more than $500.
That's a good point. Yeah, so that's true.
The sticker itself was worth the $30.
If you put a Miami GP ticket in your lemons car, does that disqualify it?
It has to, because it would raise
the
value of the car by one bajillion.
I think a penalty lap is for every $100 spent over, so that's got to be at least a quadrillion penalty.
So, if the listeners out there are wondering why I've gone viral on TikTok, it's because of my reel / TikTok on the Miami GP being faux exclusive, meaning fake exclusivity, and that they designed it that way not to allow a lot of people to show up. And it seems a lot of people agree and do not like that. I even have someone who reached out to me who is an affluent person in the Florida area. I'm not going to get too direct. And they basically said they're not going because it's a you-know-what measuring contest. And they're not interested, even though this person's a big racing fan. So, and could afford it for sure. So I think I'm not the only one that was a little bit upset. I also have talked to a lot of people in the motorsport world who are not going, and for the very similar same reasons.
It sounds awful. So
it's pretty interesting. Yeah,
I wouldn't want.
They're just like, no way, I don't want to go to that.
I've already heard Miami like already has horrible traffic, and somebody was saying that the parking there for like the football games is already horrible. But now the parking lot literally doesn't exist because there's a racetrack there, so now it's even going to be worse. So,
which could be precedence to why they didn't want to put like 100, you know, they didn't want to allow 150,000 people to show up. But I don't know. I think
that's fair.
What I have to say to that is that if you're not prepared, you know, if you want to host like this level of a motorsport event, and you're not prepared to try and have, you know, all the people that are interested in coming, then do, you know, get inventive with how you can allow the people or use the space or design the track in a way that's like, hey, we did something that F1's never done. You know, we make grandstands, you know, a stadium section like down in Mexico or something, or we ran it through the stadium, or, you know, like give it something different. But to just do what they did, it's just, I don't know. It's not my thing.
Imagine this. The amount of seating that is on that property that is going to go completely unutilized because they did not put part of the track onto the football field is ridiculous. I'm just going to say that right now. You could have opened that in.
Maybe.
Yeah, who knows? They might be allowed to, like, legally.
Well.
To drive cars through it.
Real quick, I sent a photo to you guys. I'll put it right here on screen. One of the things that I found very entertaining was a little game I created with myself in this photo called Spot the Grandstands. it was looking for actual grandstands that weren't hospitality suites. And yep. I found three at the bottom of the photo. I think there's one a little bit over there. And in the background, you might be able to see a small section.
It looks like a race that like a Formula E when Formula E was just starting, you know,
mm-hmm.
like a little bit bigger than what Formula E just started. And like, they were giving away tickets for free. And I went to Brooklyn and such, and they had similar grandstands, like a couple little grandstands, you know, hospitality area in the middle that was really big. And that was kind of the thing. And, you know, this is Formula One. This is the fastest growing motorsport in the world right now. Everyone's paying attention. It's blowing up. Fastest growing sport, and it's just like, what is going on here? What are we doing now in the back? Actually, is that a big grandstand in the back, all the way at the back of that photo?
Yeah,
that might be. I'm not sure if that's a grandstand or if that's just a bunch of suites and apartments that they've sold for that they've built for the weekend that you could buy, so
you can live in. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to hate on it because it's cool that F1, you know, in America, motorsports is getting this attention. I don't know. It's just disappointing to me. It's not my type of thing. I don't like these type of events. Like, I would never go to the Super Bowl sort of thing. Like, just no interest in that.
Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. Somebody brought up a good point. I think it was some photographer who's like, you know, they didn't start this intentionally for it to be a, you know, everybody can, they're like, they made it exclusive on purpose, but like,
yeah,
literally nobody asked for that. And literally nobody asked for that in Miami. It's one thing if it's Monaco, but
the only thing I could think of that would explain this is, for whatever reason, in order to get this approved, a deal was made with the people who are trying to put this on and the local government to limit the amount of people going there. And it was, in order to get this approved, they had to have such a limiting number that they realized that there's no reason to do grandstands if we're only going to be allowed to have 25 or 30,000 people at the track. We should just might as well do as many experience-based opportunities and try and milk as much money out of the event. Now, that's a completely valid possibility. It still sucks. And we shouldn't be going to Miami if we have those restrictions.
I think that's my problem. If you're dealing with a city that doesn't want Formula One, then why do it? Like, New York City made it very clear they do not want Formula One there, so they do not have a race. Like, mm-hmm. I think you just go somewhere that does. Like, you know, Montreal has a track in the middle of the river, and it's seriously loud. But that city, when you go there for the Formula One race, it's what I can imagine what Austin is like during the Formula One race. It's awesome. Like, everything is into it. And I'm sure Miami's like that. But, you know, they also can fit well into the six figures of people at Montreal. So I don't know. It just seems and obviously they were well into the six figures at Austin, but it seems like maybe there'd be better opportunities, but I don't know. I don't know why you have to be in Miami. Miami does nothing for me particularly. You know, like I love it down there. It's fun to visit, but well, I'm just saying like, I don't like, love going there. I don't need to go there.
Can we play the replay?
Homestead,
of,
bro.
Of,
isn't that Miami?
Of, no, I love Homestead. I just want to play the racetracks. I just want to play the replay of Parker saying that Miami is going to be the crown jewel
of
American races.
Remember that?
F1
No, no, I said it will outlast Vegas.
Got it. Okay.
this is before I also knew all this restrictive stuff. I didn't realize all this. So that was pretty.
Are
I
you
know
officially retracting that statement?
I'm not fully retracting it because I can't remember it perfectly, but all I'm going to say on that is I still think it has a chance to outlive Vegas because it's not running through the streets, which I know no one agrees with me on that, but I have a hard time believing that anything running through the streets that isn't Monaco or like well-established for the last 30 years, like a Long Beach or something, has a hard time existing past a couple years.
Okay. No, right. That's a fair point.
Valid enough.
Yeah.
AJ. You sent a meme to me and the crew.
I did?
Of, yeah. Remember when you, the guy that was jumping into the water next to the yachts?
Yeah, legendary.
Yeah. So for those who didn't see this, I, as well as everyone else, presumed absolutely incorrectly, there will not be water holding up the yachts. There will be a boards, wood boards painted to look like water. That
is that real?
Yes,
I thought that was Photoshop.
Sky Sports just, I just saw a thing of some guy from Sky Sports jumping on it and it's and laying in it. And it's, I don't know, the reaction is it, like, what it, are we
that
doing
is
here?
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Honestly,
it's a problem.
What's the point of the boats then? I don't want to be on a boat drinking in Miami where it's hot if there's no water. That sounds awful. They're not even going to like fill it up with water and then like have the paint underneath to make it look cool. Like it's just going to be the paint.
Nope. It's just
it wow. Literally they've built wood boards at the level in which the water would be at if the water was there.
Yeah, it's not great.
Just scrap the whole race.
It is the quintessential what the Miami GP has turned into. Yeah, we're not going to put water. We're going to put wood boards after you spent $15,000 to watch an F1 race from a yacht.
And I haven't even looked at the track yet. Who knows how good the track will be? I've heard it's kind of like a Jetta clone, but I don't know if that's true or not.
If it is, that will be badass. We'll give them that. I think the track design.
I have no idea.
It's been hard to focus on the track design. I'm assuming it's pretty well done because if it's anything like Jetta, then it's gonna be dope.
Let's look.
Or Azerbaijan, because those are the most recent two street courses that have been absolutely awesome. They've really figured that formula out. So if it's got a big ass straightaway, we know it's gonna be good. You know.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed, by the way, that the first F1 American race of the season, I am flying around the world, so it's still gonna be in an awful hour for me. I believe it starts at like 11 p.m. or midnight for me.
Yikes.
So, yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, we get to have ours same time as the Darlington Cup race. So.
Well, ooh, that's exciting. That's another point of contention that's a little annoying. I found that out.
So I'm looking at the layout right now. It looks, it's got some curvy high speed bits. There's two really long straightaways with some curves in them. And it was kind of like a Yas Marina. End of the track, which is pretty, has a little big old curve kind of thing that Coda has, and a couple of chicanes, and then the stadium section next to like the not the stadium where you'd sit and enjoy the race, you know, if they had normal tickets, but like the actual football stadium that they're not using. It's, you know, that's where the start finished. You know, it doesn't look too bad actually, to be honest. The layout. Josh will put a picture or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there. I'll do that. Guys, this is just, oh man.
What support series are racing there?
Oh, that's a good question. I would imagine F2 at least.
No, I don't think F2 went. I think W series.
No?
And then I think there's another Porsche Carrera Cup Series or something that's doing it, because I was talking to one of my buddies who races in Lambo Super Trofeo. And I think there's a Porsche Carrera Cup going there, or one of them. And he was saying that they get a 20-minute practice, and that's it. And then they race a bunch of amateur sports drivers on a street course. I was like, oh, my
great
goodness.
Idea.
So, it's going to be Rec City. That would be the most entertaining race of the weekend.
The W Series has a 30-minute practice. The Porsche Sprint Challenge North America has a 30-minute practice.
That's what I'm talking about. So it's a Porsche Sprint Challenge. There you go.
And then they have a W Series has a 30-minute qualifying. Same with Porsche. And
so
then
those are the two support series.
Those are the two support series: is the Porsche Sprint Challenge and the W Series. There will also be on Saturday a promoter activity as quote unquote the 75 Ferrari parade. So
that wow. Okay. You know, there's one thing I want to watch when I go to a race, and that's a parade.
So I actually do feel that it's a bit light on the support races.
Yeah, that's not a lot. Well, especially since there's not a lot of practice sessions or qualifying sessions.
Yeah.
Now you have me very curious.
I feel like
next to an IMSA weekend.
IMSA's got like 4,000 series running.
It's it's nonstop. Overload. You can't keep up with it.
They got everything. If you go to an IMSA weekend, it might as well be,
be busy.
A festival. It's like
dude,
every
yeah.
5 seconds.
And it costs $20 to go to.
I spent $150 for a ticket to the Spanish Grand Prix. And in that includes Formula 3, the W Series, Formula 2, Formula 1.
That's what I thought.
And it's so much more. And that's literally...
Is that it? They don't have a Porsche Carrera Cup or anything?
No. But at least I get to see literally nothing but open-wheel Formula cars pretty much all time on track, whether it's Formula 2, Formula 3, or the W Series. I'm there to see that, and I get that. Oh, and we get a sprint race for Formula 3. Frick yeah. This could be awesome.
I think F2.
Oh, wait, a sprint race for F2.
F2 doesn't go off Europe or further in the Middle East, right? Is that the only. They don't do any of the flyaway races, basically.
Oh, gosh. I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's been the thing for many, many years that they stay predominantly in Europe for obviously for economic reasons.
That sounds right. Yeah. I don't think they want to spend too much money on it.
I think that's the only one. Yeah. I don't see why, taking them or F3 or anything further than Europe doesn't make any sense just because it's already cost way too much anyway. But the, I just thought that's, interesting that I felt like I don't know recently if F1 races have more support series or ever, because I know there's some places they have Porsche Carrera Cup or. When I was coming up through the oatmeal ranks, when F1 came to America and Canada, former BMW would race on the F1 weekends, which was a big deal. It was really cool. So, yeah, it's always cool to see. All right. Well, I guess I think we've really covered that, guys.
If
you're a listener out there, we really dove deep on that. And it really centers around one thing. I'm now viral on TikTok.
Yep.
So while we've been having this conversation, let's see how many views I gained. Hold on.
Oh boy.
So on Instagram, where you would think I'd be, more viral, only 4,200, but on TikTok.
Wow. Thanks, Instagram algorithm.
Yeah. Killing us.
Josh, what'd you send me here?
I was just making notes of the times. That I needed to put the ages.
Right. I've gained 1,000 more views since we started that conversation.
Wow.
Viral.
I've gained zero.
I posted my first Instagram reel this last couple of days ago.
I enjoyed that.
I want people to know out there, I take media inquiries via Eraser Discord. So for my virality.
Yeah, message him.
Yep.
Or at him in the Discord in the Ask Parker channel. And
see it.
Should we talk about
TikTok sensation?
Should we talk about last weekend?
Yeah, let's do it. You lead the way.
Okay, well, that's a bad idea because I didn't see the Xfinity race.
Did anyone here get to see the Xfinity race?
I saw the highlights. I didn't see the whole race, though.
Yeah, I got to watch the highlights. I didn't get to watch the race.
I watched the last 30 laps while I was sitting at the Corkscrew.
What a great podcast. What do you mean watch it?
We're awesome.
All I know is there were a couple incidents with people spinning. I know the 91 spun and some other dude spun and Ty Gibbs and Noah Gragson got a little argy bargy with each other.
Hey,
what?
Argy bargy about Calvin Fish?
Yeah, argy bargy. Landon didn't run too great. It could have been worse, but he finished 11th or 12th. So, you know, still not that
good
bad.
Good points day.
But, and, you know, after his past, you know, month, he's been on fire the past month. So, you know,
yeah,
that can't last forever. What else? Who won? Anybody remember? Josh Berry. Josh Berry won.
Josh Berry won it.
Noah Gragson won the Dash for Cash.
Yeah, thank you. And JRM got all four cars in the top five. Sam Mayer looked the fastest to start, by the way, but he had his left rear wheel fall off. So their team, crew chiefs, get, you know, 4 weeks suspension, which is insane. But looked really fast once again, just couldn't close it out. JRM was really good. And then it looked at the end of the race like Josh Berry was getting run down by Allgaier. And Allgaier was doing, you know, looked really quick. And he and Berry were probably the best in the second half of the race. And then they got some traffic between them, and Berry was able to lock down the win. But big day for JRM.
JRM
tends to Dale Jr.
They tend to be really good. They tend to be really good at Dover for whatever reason,
they
especially
really
Justin Allgaier.
He's always been fast there. When you hit a package and they don't change the cars that much, you know, there's no reason it shouldn't continue, right? So they've been really good there for years. I think Justin Allgaier, too, he's really good there, and he helped them a ton. So.
They said it was the first time that a team has gotten four drivers in the top five since like 2013 with Joe Gibbs Racing.
Wow. It's impressive. Dang.
Good for Dale.
Yeah, I mean, the Xfinity series is so much parody that it's probably really hard to do.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
So shout out to Dale. Cup race.
Moving the cup race. That was wild. It was a wild one.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me start with one thing. The crowd on Sunday, massive.
Was fantastic.
Wow.
Yep.
One race at Dover. Holy moly, everyone showed up. That was awesome. Unfortunately, it rained. Only 50 laps in, something like that?
70.
70 laps in, which I got to watch in the American Airlines Lounge on replay after the IMSA race. But then... they restart on Monday, and even on Sunday, you could see like that tire was laying down some rubber, which I've talked about. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys know on this podcast for weeks, months since I saw it last October at the test at Charlotte, where I was like, "This tire lays down some rubber." Unfortunately, that also meant that tires didn't have rubber on them at times, and it was hard to keep the car. Oh no, guys,
what happened?
My phone is getting a call and it totally messed with my AirPods. That was so weird. All right.
Oh my goodness.
Tires were laying a lot of rubber. So you a lot of people had tire issues. They didn't have a ton of sets, but I thought that made the race awesome. Obviously Chase Elliott brought home over Ross Chastain, but I thought that was a compelling race. Very compelling race.
So is that a thing now this year that, or if the Cup Series has tire limits?
No, they've had that.
They've always had tire limits. It's usually
like it's never an issue. Maybe it is now, I guess, because the tires wear so much.
Typically, it's not, but
it's been it's been an issue. They've been going lower the last 4 years, 3 or 4 years. Oh, they've been getting progressively a little bit lower.
Yeah, I remember like a couple years ago, they're like, "Oh yeah, we got 12 tire sets this weekend. We're using six of them." It's like, "Oh okay,
well
yeah, great."
What happened in it? You know, it happens rarely, but I think it does, although I don't love tire limits in iRacing. In real racing, I think it does, you know, allow a little bit of parity to shine through with the opportunity of using tires when you do and when you don't. But, they're trying to...
Oh, no.
For NASCAR and Goodyear, it's trying to, like, match it. Oh, no, what happened?
We lost you for a second. It's probably fine. It's a normal one.
Yeah. Everyone listening is like, why did AJ just go, oh, no?
Oh, okay. Fun. Anyway, I don't know. What else after you guys of the race?
Lots of spinouts.
I want to point out the fact that I feel like wheels are falling off again. And I felt like that went away for a while. And it seems like after the 9-second pit stops started happening, everyone started chasing a target again, and they are being less careful. So we're seeing wheels starting to fall off again. And I think we had Denny Hamlin. We had AJ Allmendinger. Did we have one more from the Cup Series?
No, that was the two. So I'm going to stop you, though, before you go down these theories.
Whoa. Because, all right, go ahead.
There is a reason they are working on it. I would say as a sport, they are working on it. I'm not going to directly call out what's happening, but I believe you'll see something here soon as going to back what to the five reasoning is. And no, I think it's just there needs to be a change, and it will be out here soon. So they just need to get it confirmed.
It's not a bad idea.
So you say that, and that's very interesting you say that, because if a change is coming, I find it very interesting.
Not a
that
change to the cars.
I imagine it's going to be a change to the pit gun, because I have a feeling what's happening is the pit gun isn't swapping to the right mode, and they're not able – they think they've done the right mode is what I would assume when they didn't do the right mode, or it's not holding on to the nut. So those are my two theories. Thanks for coming.
I'm going to predict –
I'll see you later.
I'm going to predict that it's if you have a wheel come off, your whole car is suspended a race. That's my prediction. I don't care if you have a charter or not. You ain't coming.
At the second it happens, they just pull a detonator. Your car explodes on the back stretch. You're done. Driver, be wary. If the team leaves a tire off, you will explode. It's like when it says, like, yellow line to yellow line in the driver's meeting. And then it says, like, if you speed on pit road, you will be black flagged. If you, you know, jump the restart, you may be black flagged or something like that, right? If you have a tire fall off, you will be exploded.
Yeah, there you go.
I know the voice you're talking about, too. Yeah. I can just hear it in the, you know, drivers and crew chief, please pull out your detonation handbook and sheet that we have provided for this weekend.
Yeah. You hate to see it. I think I'm excited to see whatever that is.
Well, AJ, I think the spinouts, is that the car is obviously just continuing to be hard to drive. There's no side force. I thought that was some of what helped the racing, was that the side force isn't a thing, so you can, you know, pinch each other off, as we saw Chastain and Chase Elliott run side by side for like five laps, which was awesome, and you just never see that in the car. I just think there's so many things that are so cool, but I won't lie, the way these things race. Now, Clint Boyer pointed out, aside from the idea that you can't get to a guy's bumper and sort of move him out of the way, you know, by taking the air off his rear spoiler, because obviously the diffuser is and the under tray is where most of downforce is being made. These cars, just when you watch them and you watch the drivers and the races play out, it's like very much 06, 05 to me. Like, I don't know why. I mean, they look totally different, but just the way that the races conduct themselves and play out, I'm just like, am I watching NASCAR like heyday again? Like, what is happening here?
There were so many years where you go races without anybody spinning out, and like the races just felt like you're watching, like, I don't want to say an IndyCar race, but like kind of like a IndyCar race where everybody's kind of just running around, there's occasionally a pass, and but now it's like it feels like it's real stock car racing again.
I agree, and honestly, I'm gonna make a hot take here. I think the car is hard enough to drive that we should no longer be throwing stage cautions.
Whoa.
I think they do it for TV. I get that. Well, that but TV already does for what?
It's a points paying event, so they go to camera. Hence why it's a caution. So, you know, like the end of a race, how you normally any caution, they go off timing scoring loops, right? To reset the field. But when they finish a race, they then go to camera, right, for the finish of a race. So Daytona or Talladega, anywhere, they use loops and camera. Well, the same thing with a stage finish is that it's the idea of it's not just scoring loops. They also use camera.
But do they need to throw a caution?
I think it's because it's a points paying. That I don't know, but I believe that was one of the reasons they've talked about why it's a caution as well, is that it's a points paying event.
that doesn't make sense to me unless a caution happens on that last lap. Because when it, I mean, you may need to, if it's close enough, go back to see who got their nose ahead in case transponders.
Yeah.
All of that. I get, but I also would say, I would argue that maybe they could consider just having a replay analyst that could be there and review it so the race can continue to go. Because, I mean, we are a multi-billion dollar company, so maybe we can afford a 40th.
By the way.
I think that the whole premise of we should get rid of stages because they're wrecking more now, I feel like it kind of, like, then we never really need the stages to begin with like Xfinity, because they're always wrecking anyway, or even trucks.
Trucks doesn't need stages. I've been fighting for no cautions in trucks for a while because the races are so damn short.
Parker, you are obviously fighting the wrong fight. This is the same series that had a caution clock.
They're bringing the caution clock back. I love it.
No, the caution clock.
Good times. I didn't watch the truck series that year.
I remember that, and I remember sitting there and
I raced
like,
in it,
thinking, my favorite was the fact that the broadcast was so underprepared for the caution clock. I would be like, we'd be in the middle of a run, and I'm like, how many minutes are left on the caution clock? Like, when is this going to happen? Like, has it been 20 minutes yet? I have no idea.
Yeah, they just spin.
When trucks did the fuel/tires, you couldn't do them at the same time. So you had to come in and do fuel, then do tires the next time. That was a bad era.
That sounds 2009, maybe. Awful.
Yeah.
That was before my time. I'm glad I wasn't there.
I think the consensus here is, boys, NASCAR.
Yep, go ahead.
Cup Series is pretty badass right now. I won't lie. It just looks badass.
It's getting there. I think we need to add a couple. We need to add 300 more horsepower to the Cup cars, and we need to figure out Martin's the short track.
If they could just bump up the horsepower to what we had back in 2006 and 2005, I'd say we'd be where we want to be.
Probably.
I do want to say we had viewer feedback from last week.
Oh.
In response to Ross Chastain on YouTube, the NASCAR fan 999, Joseph Selby, said, Ross isn't just a championship contender, but I would argue he is the current favorite. And his win this week has nothing to do with the hot take. He was referring to his win at Talladega with that hot take. Since the third race of the season, he has finished third, second, second, first, 19th after contending in the first two stages, fifth and 33rd with a blown engine, and then first again. He is in contention almost every week. And then he went on to say, P.S. How bad is the eRacer merch game that the team principal is wearing a shirt that is now two generations old? #, we want merch.
Great point. We do want merch. I wish we could get some of that. True.
Wish we could. That'd be awesome. Merch would be great. Talk to Josh. He's now the head of merchandise at eRacer as of last week and is supposed to have figured this out by now.
As of last week.
First thing coming out, we're going to have eRacer temporary tattoos that you can buy. I want to see them at the track. I want to see your sunburns. So
Joseph brings up a good point. Ross, it does seem like every week Ross is in the top five. And like, I feel like that team is probably having a great time right now because like they know every week they have a good chance to win. But I feel like there's been a couple moments this year where they kind of threw wins away.
Well, I don't know if they threw them away, but I would go off the same reasoning I had last week.
Not throw away.
Which is, I think the same. I mean, I don't disagree right now in May 3rd of 2022 that the one car looks like a bona fide championship contender. Talk to me come August. Make it through the summer.
Well, do you have anybody else though that you would say? Because I don't know if you could say anybody else's other than the one. You know,
no, I actually maybe you're right there.
I don't know.
Are they a bona fide serious deep run the playoffs? Yes. I just think it goes back to the same reasoning, which is teams, you know, that is a young team. An inexperienced team, the crew chief and the driver just won their first cup races this year. I am not, there's no way discounting their ability or their talent level or anything like that. I'm just saying most likely you're going to enter that playoff championship four. If they were to make it there, going up against a, you know, Chase Elliott, Alan Gustafson, a Kyle Larson, you know, Cliff Daniels combination. Maybe even a, you know, who else would be in that vein of like really
don't
stuck
say in anyone, Pence. Don't Pagano. Even say Penske. No. Or Blaney. No, they are not.
And Hassler, not at the moment. I mean, that's kind of a that's a newer combination. My point of saying was that you're going to most likely going to be going up against some seriously experienced championship, already winning championship winning teams that have been through that, been through the pressure, seen, you know, lost already, then came back to win sort of thing. And often they say you got to lose a championship to know how to win one. I think the, you know, that will be the toughest part for that one car. But I mean, look, Justin Marks has done what everyone said was impossible, which is to enter the Cup Series and become a winner in any less than a decade, basically. The car has changed the entire model. And it's done what we've hoped. I mean, when you look at that race, at one point in the top 10, there was 9 different organizations. Like, that was unbelievable.
Trackhouse is like the poster, poster child of what this new car was supposed to be.
So I think all that adds up, no doubt. But it's, I don't know. I think it's too early to say anyone's it's serious, like that's a lock for someone that, or that newer of a, or a group being a championship, you know, bona fide championship lock. No way.
All right.
Okay. All right. Let's flip the coin to the other side. Mm-hmm. Who is in serious trouble that going into this year we thought would be a championship contender? I'll list a couple of names of people that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Kyle Larson does not make it to the final four. If they don't flip around their current performance, he seems to not be able to get a handle on this current car and can't seem to perform at the same level of his Hendrick teammates. And that's not the kind of thing that you would expect from the championship defender. Normally,
hasn't he won a
race? I would
race
imagine
either?
The
Auto Club. Yeah.
Auto Club. Yeah. But I mean,
he didn't. That was after Reddick dominated it, and I think William
that's
true. Okay. Problems.
But he's not really performing at the same. I don't know the last time any of us picked him to win a race this year. It's been a long time. Joey Logano. Practically not even in the picture right now.
Yeah, I feel like Joey Logano every year is like the driver you could always have a safe bet, like he's going to run well. And this year they haven't been doing too great. 22-10.
Yeah, I would agree. Martin Truex Jr.
He's been running good the past couple of races. Yeah, he's running, you know, top five near the end.
Okay. Yeah,
I think he's solid.
If I had to point one out, this is going to be odd.
What's that?
Bonafide in a tough spot. I think 2311 is in an interesting spot right now. You know, they seriously had bad luck. But also, you know, I just view Kurt Busch going there and being like, man, you put him in Gibbs equipment, that's a championship contender right there. Now, you know, it's a new era with this car and such, so who knows what that means. But Kurt Busch is a hell of a wheelman. And I don't think it's, you know, early on at least, it's not netted the results they maybe have hoped for. This is a hot take because he's been the poster child of awesomeness in the first 8 or 9 races this season, and that is Tyler Reddick. If they don't turn it around or find victory, they're going to start putting themselves in a position where they need to get to victory lane, and that's where the pressure mounts that he has to win, and then it's no longer if or when he's going to win. It's if, and then it's how and where, and the pressure mounts, and I'm a huge Tyler Reddick fan, but I just I feel like that's a team that really just needs to break through if they want to consider themselves a championship organization, especially that 8.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think once they do win, it'll be big.
Yeah. I think it'll open it up. How close does he have to come each time? I mean, dirt race. Yeah. I mean, that got totally taken from him, but that's a tough one. Kevin Harvick, you know, they're racking up good finishes. But by no means have we seen like a Harvick domination day. And so I think that's an interesting, you know, he and Rodney Childers situation. So we'll
can
see.
I point one out?
What?
I think is in serious trouble. Andy has a win this year.
Oh.
Denny Hamlin.
No, that's not true.
Denny Hamlin is currently 3 points ahead of the 34 car of Michael McDowell and is behind the 31 of Justin Haley and all of the 2311 cars in points right now.
That's pretty bad when you say
that's
like
pretty
that.
Harsh.
Yeah, I feel like Joe Gibbs as a whole, Denny's like kind of been pretty meh compared to the 18 and the 19 at least. I can't really remember off the top of my head how well Christopher Bell's been doing, but yeah, Denny's had some really, like, not even like bad, like he's had some bad luck this year, but he's also had races where he ran like 25th the whole time. And it's like, whoa, that's a little worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Actually, I think it's a good point. So,
I don't know. We'll see.
Guys, Monday night, there was a huge race. The Sunrise 500, opener of the Monday Night Racing League on iRacing. I said I was going to win every race in the league, right? I finished fourth in my duel.
Oh, here we go.
Got into this race. I don't think I ever ran lower than seventh or eighth for a single lap. But well, the most
Daytona, so.
Came down the last run there, made the perfect moves, coming to the start-finish line, going to make $400, win my first race of the year to continue my I'm going to win every race theory or proclamation. And I got spun, finished fourth. Thought I'd put it out there.
I didn't see the replay. I know that you and Alfredo got together.
I got turned.
Did you actually get spun, or did you like try to door him and like you guys got together? Or was it neck code because it's the next
so
car?
I moved down, then he went down, but then he stopped going down. And I was definitely going to try and side draft him, but at that same moment is where you turn to the tri-oval, and he just didn't turn and hit me in the left rear, and it spun me out.
No, all right. All right, Josh, the race admin, what's your take on this? Because I feel like it's different.
You're racing for the win. And
oh, I don't have a problem with it. I would have done the same thing.
No, well, I'm not. I wasn't saying that. There
I wasn't
was.
Saying
I
mean, that way.
I know if Parker had an issue with it, he would be texting my phone like many of various drivers were after the race last night. Yeah, I think I had like 6 or 7 people texting me asking me to review incidents post race. It was fantastic, but honestly, what I saw was a classic: two drivers are driving to the finish. The leader is cut out to hang dry. The second place driver knows if he just holds a line and the leader cuts down, the leader's going to get spun. That's what happened, and Parker finished fourth. No big deal. You finished
got $400. Take
situation.
It out of my there pocket. That's all I'm saying. Rob.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Anthony.
Yeah. Pasta.
No, I'm just kidding.
Guess what I'm not having tonight.
In more like impasta.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
More
gosh.
Like anti pasta. Guess what? All about the hors d'oeuvre.
Parker's not eating spaghetti tonight. I was gonna spot for ahead. You. I wasn't home.
Yeah, I know.
I'm glad you did well. Did anybody else spot for you? Or did you go solo?
So Colin Bowden got it with emotional support for most of the race. Then he left before the last run. Brian Blackford came in. Colin also wasn't my friend on iRacing, so he couldn't become my spotter. Then Brian came in, and he spotted the last run, which was like 15 laps green. He did a great job. Really, the move I made, like, I didn't have a lot of reactionary moves I could have made differently than I did. The only thing I maybe would have done different is just let him go low and then try to use that right side draft. But it looked like he had such a run. I don't know if it would have sucked him back in time, but it would have been like a photo finish. You know, I tried to basically squeeze, and that's how we ended up where we were. So I thought he did a good job. But yeah, AJ, you were missed.
I appreciate it.
I'm
sorry you didn't get the win, but you know, was it actually 500 miles? How long was
it? No, 500 kilometers. Oh. But it might have taken, 2.5 hours? Is the longest damn race.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. All right, let's do the news.
Well, we'll get them next news? Week.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. It's not really news. Oh, you guys go first. My news is kind of lame.
Oh.
You guys don't have news, do you?
I have news.
I got news.
All right. Go ahead.
Josh, go first.
My news is a bit of personal news.
Pending. Oh, it's birthday.
No, it is pending some information and financial determination, seeing if we can get some investors on board, Eraser will be in the stands at the 24 hours of Le Mans.
Whoa!
I believe I'll be going. So there will be Eraser representation at the 24 hours of Le Mans. I will be in Spain at the same time. So I figured I'd pay for a $150 round trip flight out and back, and then pay 200 euros for a ticket that includes grandstand access and general admission. Yeah, 200 euros.
That's it.
Wait, that's awesome.
For Le Mans.
That's awesome. First of all, I got to get you to say it right. It's Le Mans.
Le Mans. Okay.
Secondly,
sorry, I'm so used to saying 24 hours of lemons.
Le Mans. Yeah,
I thought Le Mans. Le Mans.
You became such a sports car fan at IMSA at Laguna Seca, which we didn't even mention in this entire podcast. That at one point, we should have said this at the beginning. At one point this weekend, Eraser had a human being at the IMSA race at Laguna Seca, at the Dover NASCAR weekend, and at the IndyCar Barber Motorsport Park race. So we literally were on the ground presence of every major American motorsport. It'd be so first cool if ever. We were like, imagine if we became like the bar stool of like motorsports in America and just had like pop-up parties and all these events and everything.
That would be cool.
That'd be epic. That'd be cool.
Yeah, if you
we need to do that.
Land and want to get together and, you know, put some money up for that, that'd be great.
Maybe we'll get all right. If our listeners out there want that to happen, we don't know how to make that happen because we're terrible at business, but if you can tell us how to make that happen, we can't even get t-shirts made. But if you can tell us how to make that happen, maybe Dave Portnoy can give us some advice. But yeah, anyway. That's so cool, dude. Parker. I'm glad you're going.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I mean, it's a maybe right now. We're going to have one. I'm doing Spanish Grand Prix, so I will definitely be there. I'm still trying to determine the logistics of getting to Le Mans and back. Le Mans. I don't know.
Le Mans.
The home of Sebastian Bourdais, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Once I figure that out, I will let you guys know on a later episode if I am or am not going. If Eraser wants to sponsor part of that to get me out there, I totally understand.
Whoa. You just heard we're terrible at business.
Well, I'm helping you with a business opportunity right now. Come on.
You'll make no money from.
No, I'm just kidding. But it's funny you mentioned the IMSA thing. If my second news topic is just a discussion topic, and it is my thought process after going to IMSA, how we can, as motorsports as a whole, could improve. And I'm going to talk about the open paddock access of IMSA and how it is truly one of the most important things. But the way we could implement it at other track or at another series could do us wonders for attendance. You never do it on race day, and you only do it on practice days with limited amounts as like maybe a small upcharge to get you into it, to be a part of it on a practice day, maybe find a way to navigate it so that it's not as crazy. But I think like a Friday open paddock day for NASCAR would be an incredible new idea that NASCAR could implement to improve overall weekend attendance and get people closer to NASCAR.
I'm not going to try and burst your bubble here, but I'm pretty sure we did this at Texas a couple years ago.
Oh, Texas. And what happened? Awesome.
So I think it was good. Back when I was doing Cup in 2019, the last year that we did Cup and everything the old way, practices and qualifying and everything, Friday, like late evening practice was always just packed, or a Saturday practice. But I believe they did something, if I remember correctly, where they had it like way more open because there was so many people. If I remember correctly. So you can look that up. Maybe I'm making that up in my head, but I kind of feel like that was a thing at Texas that they tried out back in 2019. And obviously then COVID hit in 2020, and maybe it was something they were trying to go towards in 2020, So look that up. But it's not a bad idea. I actually totally agree with you, Josh, that it is something cool to implement because, there's times we're there on Fridays. There's not a soul in the place, right? So it it just back to that whole idea of making a bigger event and everything out of everything. It's cool.
And think about it this way. You get people to the track and expose them to the truck series, to the Xfinity series for races that are happening that day. I think that would absolutely improve overall attendance and watch figures for those events.
It'd be
because people
cool if like you bought an Xfinity ticket or a truck ticket and it came with that, you know, on that day.
Absolutely. I think it would turn things around. IndyCar, do the same thing, you know, on a Friday or a Thursday. I don't know how their weekend schedules are typically figured out, but the fact that I paid $75 for a GA ticket for IMSA and I was able to meet up with Parker while he was pit road reporting. Normally I need to like text Parker like a week in advance. Hey, I need a hot pass. Can you
Parker,
make sure
could
I
you
can
send
get
me
in?
One of those $400 hot passes, please?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You text me for this. IMSA, GA pass gets you everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. IMSA is very. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I kept texting Parker because I'm like, hey, like, is there anything I need to be prepared for? Because I'm so used to open access because of constantly having those hot passes. Like, I don't know what a regular ticket gets anymore. And like, I've never
humble
been to
brag.
IMSA and I get told. Okay, that's not my intention there, but I can see how it's taken that way. The point being, I don't want to like go there and assume I can do something, and then Parker's just like, "It gets you everywhere. Don't worry about it. Gets you everywhere. Don't worry about it." And
literally,
it was pretty much true. The only place I couldn't go was pit road, and that makes total sense because that's a massive liability area,
and it's a pretty big liability. They're tight, and they have carts going up and down constantly. IMSA pit road is chaos. Because they have the biggest, they shoehorn the biggest pit carts and pit setups and tents into the smallest areas. It's so wild. It's great stuff.
Yeah, very modular. IMSA.
Yeah. Sports car racing is awesome. Well, I was just going to say sports car racing is awesome. It's beautiful.
It's very underrated. Like a lot of race fans, you don't really, I mean, there's definitely like casual race fans who like maybe watch NASCAR and F1. Like every once in a while, who may not even know IMSA exists, you know, sports car racing. It's not as popular as F1 and NASCAR by any means, but they're definitely a lot more open. And the cars are so, another thing people don't realize is how like technologically advanced the cars are. Like they're insanely expensive. They have so many cool things with them. And you get to do like the weekends are just packed. Like it's such like the value for how much a ticket costs to go to IMSA is like, it's so worth it in almost every way.
Wow.
We need one thing IMSA needs. IMSA needs some good old boys from NASCAR going over there. Right? And we need some bumpers. We need some wrecking. We need some fights. Okay. That's what IMSA needs. All right. Because there's not enough. There's Jordan Taylor and that's it. Okay.
I will say I did get a photo with Jordan Taylor and that was probably the highlight of my weekend. It was cool to say hello.
Oh, man. I wasn't the highlight. How dare you?
Wow. Wait, did you guys go to dinner or was Parker too busy for you?
This is my favorite part of the weekend. Second favorite part of the weekend. I got two favorite parts. Is I'm sitting in a restaurant after the race weekend. I'm sitting at the table in Monterey and I get a call from Parker and he's like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I left without saying goodbye." And I'm like, "It's all good, bro. I dipped immediately after the race and I'm already at dinner."
Classic.
And I felt bad because I was like, "Oh shit! I never saw him after the race. Like, I wonder if he like." I was like, "I'd say bye, dude. Have fun in Spain." And then you were like, "No, I left." Oh, okay, guys.
What's
the
your
only
news?
That I had. Oh well, now I've lost it. Hold on. Hold on. Bring it up. So okay, two things. One, did we talk about the Formula E car that got announced? The Gen 3 car?
No. Oh, no.
How it looks like
that was going to be my news.
Oh, okay. It looks like a stealth fighter gone wrong upside down. I don't even know.
Looks like it literally does.
For the viewers, in 3, 2, 1, boom. Tell us your thoughts. What does this look like? Tell me, what does this look like to you?
Parker, I'm gonna send you
a picture. AJ hit it. I thought AJ hit it.
Literally, look at this picture. I'm gonna send it to you right now.
This is the one that has to get in there.
That's literally what the car looks like.
Oh my goodness,
like.
It's it.
Oh that my gosh.
Good. That's a shame. You know, if you ever take the time to watch a Formula E race, which most people don't, but I will say this. Those races can be highly compelling and so wild, and the commentary is great, and they do a great job of presentation and everything. I just want to see the cars be faster, because I feel like they also have some of the greatest drivers. I had a driver the other day tell me, talking about Formula E, how everyone's getting paid a ton of money, all the drivers. So like, it's one of the highest paying. This is the other funny part. It's one of the highest paying spots in like motor racing right now that isn't Formula One or NASCAR. It's just wild.
It's wild.
These guys are getting,
it's not getting
major
like a crazy
money.
Amount of attention.
Yeah, because the drivers matter a ton. So it's one of the best spots to go. And a lot of them are doing it because they're like, the car sucks to drive, but I get paid a shit ton of money, so I'm going. And so it's pretty awesome. But anyway, yeah, I just want to say they're really cool. I think they think so out of the box, which I love. Like if I were building a race series, I would use a lot of their thought process and methodology to be like, how do we think different about this, which I think they do often, which is great. And they try to, you know, lean into the idea of like, what can an electric car offer that you can't do with gas? So I think they do all that right. But that new car, that is it right there. It's a vape. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's ugly. I hate it. And the fact that we had the one that was supposed to come in 2020, but got canceled because of COVID, and now we have this thing instead is an absolute that is a crime against humanity and my eyes. So
yeah, it's depending on what angle I look at it, I either hate it or I'm like indifferent. So yeah,
it's if it's the Cybertruck from Tesla and a Formula One car had a kid.
That's what it is too. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That it is. My other news, guys, is that the Porsche and Audi have confirmed that they're absolutely going to go into Formula One, so it's just pretty interesting. We kind of knew it was going to happen, but they confirmed it. It just looks like Porsche is going to be the, you know, probably the engine badge on Red Bull, which makes sense since they already have a working engine shop. And then Audi will most likely, they keep saying McLaren, but I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion that Audi could be looking at a different team or be part of a potential Andretti team, maybe. I don't know. So I'm making that up entirely on my own suspicions, by the way. There's no basis backing that up
other than
my thoughts of they do have a relationship with them, and never know.
Bam.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You took my news topic. So my news topic is just going to be the Onion article that came out today. I always love when Onion makes NASCAR related articles or like news posts or whatever. I'm sure Josh can post a picture of it or something. It's parents support son's dream of becoming a NASCAR driver by putting up a 2.5 mile motor speedway in their backyard. And it's they obviously just photoshopped Homestead into like the backyard of a house. But it's
wild.
It's pretty funny.
And the funniest part is they were making a joke, but there's some very wealthy family right now that wants their kid wants to be a race car driver, and they go, that's not a bad idea. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Or at the very least, they'd buy like a local short track and drive it whenever they want.
That happens often too.
You know,
that does.
Are we sure that this isn't Ty Gibbs' house?
It could be. It could be. We'll see how well he does a Homestead this
year. You guys laugh. When I was at a certain major American motorsport team, when I first went there, they were seriously looking at building a Charlotte track for their own testing use.
Well, good thing they didn't. That would have been, that would have been a financial
with testing
mistake.
Rules going away. That would have been probably not worked out very well, but they were looking at it. So.
Well, I'm glad they fixed that, or they fixed that, because imagine the cost-cutting expenses of how we have to, like, tell people that building racetracks for testing is probably not good for reducing the costs.
It was right at the end of the big money era, so
Now they just spend a bunch of money on computers. So
yeah, and CFD, which we'll get into another time. But I think that's a wrap, guys. Good pod. I had fun. You... Josh, safe trip. Happy birthday. And
thank you.
I'm going to go race at Darlington. So hopefully I have a trophy next time we do this. And yes. Or at least a checkered flag. And
by the time this is live, I will be somewhere in the air flying to Spain if you're listening on Wednesday. Also, Parker and AJ, I really want to ask, what happened in fantasy this week?
Oh, I forgot. I had way too much stuff going on.
I forgot. Yeah. Yep. No, I was
last week I forgot too, and I beat all you guys, so it was kind of worth it.
Well, you can tell I had my Talladega lineup in there, considering I had McDowell, Stenhouse, which actually worked out hilariously, and Justin Haley, which also looked like it was going to work out. At one point, I was laughing so hard because it was like all of my car, and I had Keselowski. It was like I have Hamlin, Stenhouse, Haley, McDowell, and I can't remember the other one on there. And it was working out brilliantly, and then it all imploded. But I was like, this is hilarious that my Talladega picks are working at Dover. That is NASCAR in 2022 in the next gen era, actually. So, you know, it's a great testament to the parody in the sport right now. I want this to end. Goodbye.
Wow. Okay.
I love how that ended. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty well timed. Good job.
That's the best ending we've ever had. I want this to end.